The portion of God's Word that I wish to read to you today is found in Isaiah chapter 1, reading from verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. These are the words of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah has often been referred to as the gospel prophet of the Old Testament. This passage that we have read stands out as an example of this. It shows, on the one hand, first of all, man's need, and then it declares, unmistakably, God's desire for man's blessing and God's provision for that blessing that man needs. The words, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord, reflect for us the desire of the heart of God in desiring our presence, our salvation. Sin has caused us to wander from Him. In our folly, we have gone astray. Without exception, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We also read in the same prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 59, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. This is true of every one of us by nature and by practice. You know, man is both a dropout and a runaway. Sin has made him to drop out of God's favor. Also, sin has caused him to be at a distance from God. Now, this is man's natural standing. Man without Christ, man that's born into the world. He may be educated, he may be very good as far as man's standards are concerned, but in regards to his condition before God, this is what is true of all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And man, with this nature that is away from him, doesn't want God, and he does not wish to think of God. God is not in all his thoughts. And yet here we read that the Lord wants man. The Lord says, come now and let us reason. Let us reason together. What is the folly of your sin obtaining for you? Where is it taking you? I have provided a remedy for you. Have you ever stopped to think of your sins? Though your sins be as scarlet, have you ever given thought, dear listening friend, to your sins? Not someone else's. It's easy to point the finger at someone else, to detect sins in others. But have you ever considered the fact that you are a sinner, and your sins are known to God? They have separated you from God, and yet God wants to cleanse you from those sins. He says, come now. Today, in these few moments with the book, I wish to seek to bring before you some of the words of the Lord Jesus when he gives this invitation in the Word of God. Come, it's simple. Now, it's urgent. God grant that today, every listening friend will be drawn by this sweet invitation from the lips of the Savior, to come. He wants you. This should be enough to break you down. Perhaps you feel that no one loves you, no one wants you. There are many today who are runaways, who are dropouts. But, oh dear friend, God loves you, and God wants to bring you to Himself. He has opened the way whereby you can return to Him, that you can be brought into relationship with Him, that the distance that your sins has made can be bridged by himself, and you can be brought in all the favor of his grace. Come, he says. You need to come, because you are unclean. He says, wash and make you clean. There's a remedy for your uncleanness. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed at the cross. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. God wants you to stop, to bring to cessation your acts of evil, your negligence of him, by repenting, turning to him in repentance. This is what is implied in putting away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. I'll tell you, dear friend, the evil of your ways can only be put away by himself, but it's by the means of your repentance. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Come now, he says. Let's reason together. In the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel, we have the Lord Jesus using the word come to this man, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. He was a rich man, but he lacked in his soul, and he knew it, and he wanted to see Jesus. What a grand desire to want to see Jesus. He was urgent about it. He ran before the crowd. He was a little man. He couldn't see over the heads of the crowd. So he ran up ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree. But in verse 5 we read, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Come down. Many people can boast of the way that they were brought up. But at the end of this little incident, we could well say that Zacchaeus would be able to boast of the way he was brought down. And dear friend, in order for you and me to be blessed, we must be brought down. The Lord says, come down. Zacchaeus had climbed into a sycamore tree. We're not finding any fault with his desire. But do we not see reflected here the attitude that we often take when we become, first of all, concerned as to eternal matters? We think we have to make ourselves better. We have to climb the ladder of success a little bit. We have to turn over new leaves and put ourselves a little bit better than the crowd. Dear friend, if we are to be blessed and salvation is to come to us, as it came to Zacchaeus that day, we first of all have to come down. We have to come down to the sinner's platform, to the level of the sinners. When you meet Jesus, you're going to meet him first of all in your sins and with your sins. It's at the sinner's platform that he meets you. He came into the world not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You must humble yourself. You must come in repentance to him. And so he says, come down. How good it was to see that Zacchaeus made haste. He came down, and he received him joyfully. And salvation came to his house. It came to his soul. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord said, come down. Zacchaeus responded, and he was blessed. Tell me, have you ever come down? Have you ever taken your place as a lost, ruined sinner, separated from God, out of his favor, and justly deserving his judgment? And yet at his command you have come down and said, I have sinned. In Luke chapter 14, the Lord Jesus, in giving a parable of the gospel supper, says these words. Verse 23. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That sweet word, come, the Lord himself uses once again. It is said that it appears over 600 times in the Bible. This word of invitation. The Lord used it, first of all, to Noah, way back in Genesis, when he said, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come." It's a word which a child can understand, and perhaps it's one of the first words a child understands. As a mother holds out its arms and says, "Come," and the little child takes its first step into the arms of the mother. Come. Here we have a parable of a supper that is prepared, a great supper. It pictures for us the provision of God for a man's need. A provision made in Christ and his sacrifice. The supper table has been spread. There's a table full of wonderful dishes. Here's the dish of forgiveness of sins. Here's the dish of justification. Here's the dish of peace with God. Here's the dish of redemption. Here's the dish of the sealing of the Spirit of God. Many, yea, all spiritual blessings. And the invitation goes out, "Come, for all things are now ready." Sad to say, we read that men began to make excuse. Tell me, friend, have you ever made an excuse for not coming to the Lord Jesus? Have you ever made an excuse for not going to a gospel meeting when someone asked you to go to hear about the Lord Jesus? Well, these were just excuses. The folly of them is very evident. Buying ground before seeing it, buying oxen before testing them. And then this poor man that married a wife, and therefore he couldn't come. And so the Lord of the supper says, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Come in. This is the invitation that goes out to all men in the preaching of the gospel. Come to Jesus. It's not come to the church, dear friend. That will never save you. Come to Jesus. Come in. Come into the gospel supper. Come into what God has provided. We have a picture of it in Noah, who made an ark for the saving of his house at the commandment of God, that he might be preserved from the coming judgment, that he might be sustained for the whole year that he was in there. It was a miraculous provision of God, and it is a beautiful type of salvation for you and me, the sinner. The ark was prepared, pitched within and without, speaking to us of the death of the Lord Jesus, cut down in the midst of his days, as the tree, shall we say, from which the ark was formed. The pitch is the word from which we get the word atonement. It reminds us of that which waterproofs us, yea, judgment proofs us. The blood of Jesus Christ is that which will secure us from the judgment of God and save us for eternal fellowship with himself. The ark, I say, is a picture of Christ. And there's one door. The time came when the Lord gave the invitation. He says, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Here in Luke 14, he says, "Come in, come in." It is but a step of faith, over the threshold of the door. Have you taken that step? Noah did, and the Lord shut him and his family in. Millions since have come to Christ, who is the door, and by faith claimed him as their Savior. They have stepped in. Safe in Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, have you come in? Then he shall be saved. And what a blessed, most wonderful, abundant provision for man's need is found at this gospel table. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus says, come in. In Matthew chapter 11, we hear his words again. Words that I trust will fall upon someone today who is listening, who is weary of life. You are heavy laden, you're burdened. There are many trials that you are called to bear. It's a world of tribulation. You have sorrow, difficulty. I wonder if you have soul trouble. You know, maybe the Lord allows trouble, physical and otherwise, to turn us to Him. Oh, if so, I have a remedy for you. There's an invitation for you from the lips of the Son of God Himself, who loved you and gave Himself for you. Listen. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's a promise. There's a most wonderful invitation. He means it. Come unto me. The Savior Himself is just as near to you as your heart. Yes, He is. The word comes to you from Him, in your mouth. Yes, for you to receive. Right in your ear, that it might be directed to your heart. Friend, have you seen? Have you heard? The Lord Jesus is seeking to get your attention, to draw you to Himself, to come. Coming is an act of faith. You don't have to move from the chair where you're sitting or where you may be standing to come to the Lord. Coming to Him is simply an act of your will, in your heart responding to His invitation. He says, "Come unto me." Are you heavy laden? Do you find the burden of sin great? Ah, friend, come with all your sin. Come with all your burden. Come with all your trouble to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died at Calvary and rose again. He's a living Savior. He is able to receive you. He is willing to receive you. He says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Will that not draw you? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And He says, "I will give you rest." This is rest of conscience. Knowing that He has received you, knowing that your sins which separated you from God are removed the moment you come to Jesus Christ by simple faith. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. This is the promise. And He means what He says. Will you not try Him? Will you not turn to Him? Will you not trust Him right now? He says, "Come now." This is the decision you have to make. Will you make it now? It's wise to do so. Will you not just simply say, "I come"? This is your hour of decision. It's either one or the other. You come or you will not come. As we read in Isaiah 1, it says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Willingness implies the willingness on your part to repent of your sins, to come down, as Zacchaeus did. To say to Him, "I have sinned." To be obedient means to come to Him, to respond. And I repeat, coming is believing. It's trusting. "Lord, I believe." That's coming to Him. If you will be willing then to come down, and then obedient to come in, He will receive you and bless you. But if you refuse and rebel, then you shall be devoured by the sword, says the prophet Isaiah, speaking of the judgment that shall come. And the certainty of both these ends, either of these ends, it's your choice, your decision to make. You're either going to come or not come. You're either going to be willing and obedient, or you're going to refuse and rebel. I urge you, and I pray that the Spirit of God will draw you to come. Come right now. May God grant it for your blessing and for the honor and glory of that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.